lot of other religions, it's all about the rituals, it's all about, you know, the ceremonies and things like that. But in Christianity, it's really about teaching. I mean, it's somebody taught us the gospel, and that's why we got saved, right? It's our responsibility to tell others and pass that on. It's really what we do to grow and understand in the Lord. It's all about teaching from the very start to the very finish. Jesus was the great teacher, you know, and came to share the truth with us. That he even compares Jesus in Hebrews to being God's message to us. You know, and now he's spoken to us through his Son. And so it's all about this. Jesus stated that we were to be sanctified. He says, you sanctify them how? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's that's the very thing that not only brings us salvation, it's the very thing that transforms our life and makes us what we are and helps us become more and more like Christ. So it's all around teaching. But how is this done? And I believe there's a threefold process, and this isn't new with me. A lot of people point this out, and I really wanted to stress it with you, this threefold process, because really it's about our whole Christian walk. In fact, I would argue that all of us, this might make you a little nervous, but all of us are teachers. And one way or the other, we're all teachers. And I want to take you to a few passages. First, to Ezra 7, verse 10. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. A very simple verse, but it brings out this threefold process. There's a sense which he realized, I have to apply myself to study the word of God, to know it. And that's the first step, knowledge. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to study it, to know it, to have a handle on it. And one of the first things that happens, at least in my life, when I got saved, I got all curious about learning what the Bible had to say, and it just comes alive to you. And you should find a joy in just knowing the Word of God and learning it and studying it to make it part of who you are. We have a whole psalm dedicated to that. I think it's the longest psalm, Psalm 119. All about the importance of the Word and how special it is. But it goes a step further. It's not just knowing the Word. We have to do it. And that's the second thing. He says, and to apply the truth to his life. He wanted to study it that he might be careful to make sure he's doing it. Now that's every Christian's responsibility. Not just the pastors. Not just the Sunday school teachers. Not just deacons. It's our responsibility as believers to take the word of God and to know it and then make sure that we're doing it. To be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? So that's the second thing. And then he says, but then he said, I wanted to know it. I wanted to make sure I was doing it that I might impart this knowledge to Israel, that they might know his statutes and his commandments, that they too could do it. And that's where Ezra stood out. He wanted to know it. He wanted to make sure he was doing it. But then he made a special, took on the special responsibility of making sure the Israelites who were returning to the land of Israel knew it as well so they would do it. And to pass that knowledge on, to teach in Israel, he wanted to go back home in Israel to teach him his statutes that they might live in accordance with the word of God. Now that's an Old Testament passage. But it's over and over repeated in different ways. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, he gives the guidelines for when they finally have a king. And he says, you're going to go back to the land, I'm going to give it to you. And eventually I'm going to raise up kings to rule over you. But there's certain things I want to characterize these kings when they come to power. And it's Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And it shall be when he, the king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, they shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. So here it says, when you finally get a king, the first job of the king is to make a copy of this law and to keep it with him at all times. Why? They might make sure he's doing it, that he's following the law of the Lord. But then it goes on. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the statutes and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up before his brethren, and they turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left hand, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. When it talks about his children, his family, but also the Israelites. He's supposed to know it. He's supposed to make sure he's doing it. And then he's supposed to make sure this is imparted to the other people of the kingdom, that they're doing it. There's threefold process. Know it, make sure you're doing it, and then teach other people to do it. Parents. It's also brought in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. It's one of my favorite passages. Big one for something like this with all the kids here and parents to remember this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 starts out with a Shema in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Devotion to the Lord. Well, how you be devoted to the Lord? And these words which I've commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. So get the picture? Get it in your heart. Then make sure you're living that out by loving God and being devoted to him, doctrinally on target, but also in your commitments and your decisions to live for the Lord. Then it goes on, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way. See the picture? Know it. Apply it to your own life, and then pass it on to your children. Teach them. All the way through the Old Testament. That's over and over the theme. It's what we do when we live for God. But then we go to the New Testament. Take it one more. Romans 15, 14. And I shall also, I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren. Now he talks about the, what's interesting is he has this greatest treatise on doctrine, the book of Romans. He's gone all the way to the end of the book, and now here he's kind of bringing it to a close, and he brings this out. He says, and I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. I've given you this great book of doctrine, not because I don't think you know it. I know you already know it. And I know that you're already full of goodness. In other words, you're applying a lot of this to your life. But we are responsible to keep on teaching you, to explain things over and over and over again, to make sure that you remember what you know, that you apply it. And it brings out the three key ingredients once again. This idea of obedience is brought by the idea that you're full of goodness. That means virtue that is opposed to all that is mean and evil. It includes the idea of uprightness, kindness, generosity of the heart and of life. It's the idea that this is a person who takes it and applies it to life. They're living it out. It's finding expression in what they do. Why? Because they're filled with the knowledge. They know it. And they're actually living it out. They're actually putting it into practice. That's what it means to be filled with knowledge, where it just spills out into actions. You're doing it. It's controlling your life. He understands the Christian faith, and it's fleshed out in what he does. You can tell what he believes. But then it brings out, and he's able to instruct others. The word is actually admonish. And it has this idea that you encourage, that you warn, you advise. It's not the idea of an official teacher like a, you know, preaching or teaching like in a Sunday school class or from the pulpit. It's more the idea that you know, you're so filled with this knowledge and it's working itself out in your life that you're able to admonish in terms of advising others. Someone wonders, what should I do? And they come to you because you're somebody who seems to be living the Christian life, you're walking with God, and they see you as somebody who's close to the Lord, who's living out, and they want to know what you think. They want to have you impart your knowledge, and you're able to, because you know it, so you're able to admonish somebody, or to warn somebody, because you see someone going down the wrong path, And you know that this is not the path to go down, right? Because you know the word of God and you're not walking that path yourself. So you're able to admonish somebody or warn them not to go down that path. It's that idea. That you are able to encourage people because you see these things in someone else and you want to see that continued. And so you come alongside and you encourage them that to go on the right path, and you're credible to them because they see it in your life as well. And so they take it to heart. It's that we're all supposed to be at that point. And Hebrews brought that out earlier, didn't it? It said that, you know, you at this point in your Christian life shouldn't need a teacher, but you should be teachers. You should have come to a point in your mature walk with the Lord that now you're able to impart to others because you've gotten to the point where it's so much part of who you are. They're able to help somebody else. That is always what we should be striving for as Christians. We never get to a point where we don't need teachers, someone else to teach us more and to learn. I'm always learning. I'm always loving reading, finding out new things all the time. We're always learning. But there's a point where we come to we're able now that we're beyond where someone else perhaps is at, that we're able to help somebody else along the way. We're always discipling somebody, and we're always somewhat being discipled. And that's a process of Christian life. We're always learning from somebody, and then we're able to pass it on to somebody else. That's what I wanted to challenge you with. Are you in this process? Where are you at? Some of you have been in church your whole lives. You should be at the point where you're admonishing and helping someone else along the way. Some of you maybe don't feel there, you're there, then work towards that. To that point. It's the responsibility of every maturing believer. These three things, knowledge, obedience, and teaching and admonishing others, is the Christian life. Growing in knowledge, seeking to be one who's obedient to the word, that we might minister and help others. That's it. We should seek to be that. And that's what I want to challenge with. At this time, I also want to give a more specific challenge. I want to kind of put myself on the line here, okay? I've been reading about this, thinking about this for some time now, where I'm starting to get a little bit more energy, a little bit back to where I want to be. And one of my passions has always been to try to take men and push them to go further. And I found the book, it's kind of helped me, and I'm working on this, a two-year program. It'll take 2 years, I think, to go through it. And I'm asking guys to consider committing themselves to meet with me, maybe an hour or something like that, a week. And what I'm going to do... Did someone fall over with this? I want to give you a question. And it'll be a question I'm giving, but I'm also going to give you scripture with it. Then you'll have time to work on it and think it through and read the scriptures, maybe a half hour or so in a week, to work on to think about what these verses have to say about that question. And some are going to be very much doctrinal, some will be very practical, how to live the Christian life, someone's how to help others. But it's really a discipleship type question. And it's a question because I wanted the type of thing that someone's going to come up and ask you someday. But now you have a chance to work it through and think it through. And we're going to meet together as a group. In other words, I'm not going to meet with everyone individually, I'm going to meet with you as a group. And I'm willing to go up north somewhere because I think a lot of you guys are up north. Someone kind of central. And we'll talk about it. See what you learn, what you figured out. And I'll share with you kind of what I think and kind of make it as kind of discipleship type thing. And then give you a new question. In the course of time, I think there's like 75 different questions to go through. And it covers the whole thing. That by the time you're done with this, I think you're going to have a pretty good handle on a lot of different concepts, a lot of different truths. But you'll also be equipped to answer questions. Because you're going to be approached, that's the whole way we're doing it, is by questions. And I'm looking for people to commit themselves to that. I'm willing to commit myself to it. And to kind of make yourself, you know, kind of pray for each other, encourage each other. But it's going to be more focused type of a... Right now we have a fellowship time, we meet once a month, I encourage you to go to that. That's more for fellowship, encouragement, guys getting together. This is more of a deliberate discipleship with some demands to it. You know, I'm going to expect you to do this. And my hope is that over time it will raise up leaders. You know, but you're not doing it. After you're done, you don't have to become a deacon or be a leader or something like that. It's for anybody who wants to do this. But my goal is, hopefully, that eventually you'll feel confident enough that you feel that way. Okay? So if you want to do that, let me know. And so, but I wanted you to think about it over the summer and kind of pray about it, because I want it to be a real commitment. And think about it. But for the rest of you, I encourage you, think about this. Are you seeking to know the Word of God? Are you seeking and really being careful to be obedient to the Word of God? And are you really ministering to other people what you know? We're not supposed to learn all this just to keep it to ourselves. The whole point is we're to learn that we might share and point others to the truth. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. And Lord, I don't want to just talk about this. I want to work at doing it in my own life and kind of make a commitment to invest in some men that really would like to do something like this. Because Lord, we need to encourage and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. To not just talk the talk, but seek to really live it out. And I pray, Lord, just help us to really mentor and encourage and disciple each other, that we might be all that we can be for Jesus Christ. And so I ask your special blessing on each one. And thank you, Lord, for our teachers. Thank you for our students. And may we honor you, Lord, always in all that we do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.